Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the omnipresent divine creation, which is everywhere, always, but no one can see it with the corporeal sense mind. In this show, we will discuss the allness of the perfect divine principle and how to gain entry into conscious awareness. Listen as we explain the birth of Christ in consciousness as the saving aspect of truth. From John 8:21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. End of the verse. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and step out of time into eternity. Swami, the title of today's show is Heaven's Kingdom is at Hand. So what do we mean by that title?
Yeah, I think it's really important that we begin to understand the omnipresent divine principle. It's the most important accomplishment available to a human being, yet no human being can ever know the divine principle. Life and matter must be given up for life and spirit to qualify for the divine entry. And we have something here, Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This idea of repent doesn't mean to plead for forgiveness, but it means to think differently. We can't know the divine creation with the mind we're using to get us through this lifetime. And so we have to learn how to think differently. And what does that look like when I'm doing it? There's a lot of words out there that refer to it, but in order to really activate this divine law in your experience, we must be conscious of it.
Swami, a few curiosities. Let's start with explaining what exactly is the omnipresent divine principle.
Yeah, it is the only reality. Creation is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. It's everywhere, always. In order for us to activate that in experience, we must be conscious of it. What we see with our corporeal senses is not the divine creation. That becomes a very important clue we have to start with. You make the separation between thy kingdom and this world. And once you come to the realization, everything that appears in your corporeal senses is not under the government of this divine principle. The divine principle is the law of one, everywhere, always. Scripture tells you God is everywhere and in everything. But what's misleading about the way we have tried to understand God as this mix of good and evil doesn't give you a principle. It brings the idea, the concept of God down to the level of material law, which is a belief in two powers. And as Scripture says, believe on me. I am the way, the truth, the light. There's only one being, perfect, it's whole, it's complete. As long as we believe we are a finite mortal being, separate from divine perfection, we are under the law of karma. But it's a hypnotic state. It's a belief in something other than the divine creation. Once you start to understand the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's all that's here is the divine principle. But it's not mental and it's not material. It's spiritual. It's whole. It's complete. And we can't get that to do anything for us for the simple reason it's not withholding anything. It is running a perfect universe. We have to come to the realization is what we are calling life, this mental material experience we are having, which is under the law of karma with a belief in two powers, isn't real. So we have to let go of the belief we are a finite mortal being. But we don't fix what isn't there. We reveal what is always there, the divine principle.
So you've made a statement, life in matter must be given up for life in spirit in order for us to have this divine entry. Let's talk more about life in matter.
Yeah, this idea of born in flesh is the lie. Jesus called that the lie, where he says your father is a liar and a murderer. Why is he a murderer? Well, we believe in death. We believe in something other than eternal life. But we have to come to the realization that it's a belief and not the divine creation, not the kingdom of heaven which is at hand, because that is purely spiritual, invisible and intangible to corporeal sense.
So why do we have to give up the life and matter in order to become one with this divine omnipresence?
Just like light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. You can't be in light and darkness at the same time. When the sun shines, it dispels the darkness. Darkness isn't an opposing power to light. It's the absence of light. And in a very similar way, error is not an opposing power to truth, it's the absence of truth. And so if you are in the light of divine truth, there is no false sense of existence. They can't be in the same place at the same time.
So one more question about that. Are we talking about the life and spirit? Does that mean that we're at a different level of consciousness?
Well, for me, it's a good way to be able to academically explain what's really happening. The only thing that is real is the divine creation. The kingdom of heaven is the only thing that is real. It is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of eternal life. Now, what we see with our corporeal senses is a mental image. It is a thought about what's really there. It's not a something. It's just a belief in something other than this divine creation. And to really drill down with that and understand how that whole thing is working, you start to see that it is world thought being broadcast and televised and accepted as my thought. But as Mary Baker Eddy said, it's a reflection. Just like when you look in a mirror, the image looking back at you, you know there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that image. But it looks identical to who you are. And so we're fooled by this mental concept, this belief. This idea of sickness, suffering, disease, and then we try and fix the physical body. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror and your face is dirty, and you start washing the mirror. Now, you're putting all your effort in trying to fix what isn't there. And so when we're trying to fix a finite mortal sense of life, it's the same thing. It isn't there. And then we begin to understand how all of this is working. We know with thought and belief, we can change finite bad to finite good. But that's not what divine science is all about. It's not the message of the Christ. When Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's really saying, stop trying to fix what isn't there. Stop believing in this false sense of life and rise into the truth of your being. What I find is we are in really dire straits for methodology. How do I repent? What does it look like when I am conscious of this divine principle? Because Jesus told us it heals the sick, reforms sinner, raises the dead. But it's not fixing the finite mortal sense of life. It is revealing the truth. Life is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. Everywhere, always.
So, Swami, getting back to that verse that we talked about, Matthew 4:17, it sounds like Jesus is giving us instruction when he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What do you think he's trying to tell us?
Well, that's what I've been saying. Think differently. Stop thinking with the five corporeal senses and start knowing with your seven spiritual senses. Most of this really is obscure, and it's very difficult to understand. And that's why I keep coming back to the Kriya Yoga we teach, because yoga as a spiritual science is a complete holistic health management system that gives you methodology, things that we can employ in order to induce this God experience. Now, Mary Baker Eddy uses the term prayer, and for her, prayer is communion with the divine. Joel Goldsmith uses the term meditate. Meditation, by definition, is the seventh stage of yoga. The fifth stage of yoga is pratyahara, sense withdrawal. We have to shift thought from a material mental basis to a spiritual basis. And that requires the development of a mental landscape that will support this divine principle, this belief in one being. And again, that's why yoga is a path of action. It's a path of knowledge. It's a path of devotion. We coordinate and orchestrate all of these different strategies in order to initiate a process where we unfold in three phases. And getting back to repent, the word repent has been a difference maker for me. Not to plead for forgiveness, but to think differently, to stop thinking and start knowing. The divine creation is everywhere always for those who have eyes to see. A common mistake in the New Age community is the turning from thinking to feeling, which in many cases is jumping from the frying pan into the fire, or the wolf in sheep's clothing. Human intelligence, which is the mid-mind in Kriya Yoga, consists of four mental functions: perception, reason, memory or feeling, and intuition, all of which are driven by a belief in two powers and work on contrast. A good reason to stay away from feeling as an indicator of divine truth, we have something here from Gilbert Carpenter, Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Footprint, Chapter 20. Would you read that for us, please?
Sure. It must be recognized that Mrs. Eddy's gauge of whether her thought was handled by animal magnetism differed from that of many of her students, for they measured the extent to which error was influencing them by how they felt, depressed, sick, in pain, or discouraged. Such was not Mrs. Eddy's standard. She gauged her freedom from mortal beliefs solely by the clarity of her spiritual thought, by whether she could think of God intelligently, by how real and how near he seemed to her. This is a most important metaphysical point for the advanced student, because the mistake of using one's feeling as a gauge as to whether one is handled by animagnetism is that, in a mental state of exhilaration, without an ache or pain, man may be further from God than when he is depressed or is suffering. When he feels badly, he is out of tune with God, to be sure, but he is struggling to get back. But when he is in a state of mental exhilaration, he may be out of tune with God and in tune with that which he should not be yet, because he feels well and happy. He is not driven to make the struggle to throw off the domination of the enemy of God. End of the quote.
Yes, so you can definitely see this is a completely different standard that we're working with. And we have to depart from this human interpretation of everything and start to live up to this spiritual standard.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsors. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Institute for Personal Development Incorporated is a Kriya Yoga ashram offering yoga classes in all 8 stages of Kriya Yoga, including classes, personal training, teacher training, residential program, online live classes, and online products for self-discovery and transformation. Discover, learn, and practice one of the oldest and purest forms of yoga, Kriya Yoga, by uniting ancient religion with modern science. Visit www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, back in the summary, we were going to explain the birth of Christ in consciousness as the saving aspect of truth. Let's kind of break that down. What does that mean for us?
Well, for me, it especially means you stop personalizing Jesus and you open the concept of the Messiah, the Christ, as an eternal principle. The Christ is what makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. And for us to be conscious of the divine creation, we need the birth of Christ in consciousness. And so everything that we're doing here is about rebirthing the mind-body complex in the divine idea, in spirit. And it's not just words in a book. It's not just a declaration. There is physics involved here, where you literally internalize the invisible, intangible omnipresence in your physical body as your symbol for validation. Now, of course, we know there is no physical body. But in order for us to experience the omnipresent divine principle, we have to master the mind-body complex because it's the veil. And what we learned is the mind can't free itself from its own creation. It's in this loop, this belief we are a finite mortal being with an expiration date. Now, even though it isn't real, until we walk reason through the open door of revelation, we're under the influence of this belief. And so we have to be awakened out of the belief. And it's very easy to think you're awakened out of it and yet not demonstrating or walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth. You think you're spiritual, but you're still struggling with conditions that are not part of the divine creation, so it doesn't prove out. And so the inner and the outer have to maintain this sense of oneness, and it must be perfect, whole, complete. And if it doesn't have that, then we know it isn't real.
Next up here, we have a soundbite from Herb Fitch from Realization of Oneness, Class 24B, that I think we should play.
Yeah, and if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
Now, we are being lifted to the realization that there is another consciousness present than the one which we call our human consciousness. In our human consciousness, there is not quiet, rest, and peace. There is disquiet. There is turmoil. There are questions, there are fears, there are doubts, there's a feeling of impermanence. That's the wrong consciousness. It's not our true consciousness. In the presence of our consciousness, there is quiet, rest, and peace. Our consciousness is God. And only when you're in your consciousness, instead of your false human sense of consciousness, are you in the quiet, the peace, the true silence. When you are not in peace, quiet, silence, rest, absence of fear, you're not in your consciousness. You're in your sense mind. And although your sense mind is often called your consciousness, it isn't at all. It's the counterfeit of your consciousness. It's but the shadow, with shadows of thought. And every time you are in some form of disquiet, remember you're not in your consciousness. You're in an imitation consciousness, which is not your consciousness. Your consciousness is divine consciousness, because you are divine spirit. And right where you are, you can switch channels like that. Right where you are, that disquiet is the wrong channel, the wrong consciousness, the false, the untrue, and in the upper firmament, right where you are, is your divine consciousness, if you will but rest and wait and listen and trust. Here I am. I am the divine flow. Right where you are, I've always been present. I, God, am present. And my consciousness is divine. And I share no consciousness with a second consciousness. The one divine consciousness I am, God, is here now as your consciousness and my consciousness. There is no other consciousness present. In that consciousness, we learn to find our being. We find the living water. There's where you find the real comforter. That's where you find the spirit of truth. Not the truth of the mind, but the truth of the spirit. The real comforter comes as the spirit of truth, heralding the presence of all that is real. We find the serpent who deceived us has no power when we are in the divine consciousness. All of its claims and all of the beliefs that it engendered in us are recognized as false. We lose belief in those concepts which said we were other than the pure, perfect spirit. We lose belief that there is a power beside the pure, perfect power of spirit. We lose all belief in anything other than reality. And when there's that click in you that tells you you've lost the belief in unreality, you will find it loses its power to manifest where you appear. It can only manifest where you appear while it still has you in a state of believing in its unreality, in its false power, in its capacity to do something not ordained by the Spirit of God. This belief we are slowly rooting out so that we have a pure consciousness and pure motives. The more we live in the conscious awareness of God as constituting our being, just the sound of those words to me is music. The more we live in the constant awareness that the consciousness of God is our being. This is stated by Joel as a fact. Consciousness of God is our being. And the more we live in that awareness, the more the natural man is being loosed until finally it fades away entirely. Here's the Master telling us that the natural man fades away entirely as we abide in the conscious awareness that divine consciousness is my being. It doesn't leave room for doubt. The natural man is dissolved away entirely. So even if we have not been there, one who has tells us the natural man dissolved. That means there's a change of consciousness that takes place, an anointing. An inner self replaces the outer appearing self. An inner transformation takes place. You live and move and have your being. Your activity emanates from the divine center, which is the all, and this outer form, though still present in appearance, is an instrument of the infinite spirit. And so there's a Christ appearing as Jesus. Why? Because the natural man has dissolved. All that is present there is divine consciousness functioning, appearing as a form. And that form, as we learn, is not subject to the evils of this world. For it, death has no power. As the natural man is dissolved in consciousness, death has no power. Disease has no power. Pain has no power. The powers of this world are revealed to be without power. Why? Because divine consciousness has replaced human consciousness. The human consciousness that was never there but only seemed to be can no longer report those defects or problems that were never there but only seemed to be within that human consciousness. The new consciousness reveals the qualities of the new consciousness made manifest. And the consciousness of God presence is life eternal, and therefore death has no place. And the conditions that lead to death have no place. And if this were not so, we would have no purpose in studying this message, because the purpose of the message is to reveal life eternal. You cannot reveal life eternal if death is a reality. You can only reveal life eternal because it is the reality and incorporates all of the living qualities which are ever present in our true divine consciousness.
So a lot of really good points from this soundbite, but I especially like when he says your consciousness is divine consciousness because you are a divine spirit. I still kind of think that we have to do something to become that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we have to understand ourselves to be immortal. We have to accept spiritual identity, which means we have to know ourselves in the way that we are created, which is spirit. And spirit is whole. It's complete. It's one. And it's out of time and out of space. It's a very different perspective of oneself. And you can't be a finite mortal being and spiritual. And we explained that before. In the light of divine spiritual truth, it dissolves the belief in a finite mortal sense. And then, of course, where he said, that means there's a change of consciousness that takes place, an anointing. An inner self replaces the outer appearing self, and then a transformation takes place. You live and move and have your being. Your activity emanates from the divine center, which is the all. And this outer form, though still present in appearance, is an instrument of the infinite spirit. There are things that must take place, an evidence procedure to this. And if you're not getting what Mary Baker Eddy called chemicalization, the changes that happen when thought shifts from a mental material basis to a spiritual basis. And what's happening is the divine creation is becoming more and more apparent. It's not fixing the mental material world of energy. It's revealing the truth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
We have a quote here from The Infinite Way by Joel Goldsmith, and I'll read it. Spiritual illumination reveals the harmony of being and dispels the evidence of material sense. It does not change anything in the universe, for this is a spiritual universe peopled with children of God. But the illumination changes our concept of the universe. This is but the beginning of this vast subject, and while we are discussing it, let us keep thought removed as far as possible from the world of sense and anchored in the conscious awareness of spiritual reality. End of the quote.
Yeah, and so as we've been saying, you start with a belief in the divine creation. Life is perfect, it's whole, it's complete. Know the truth about the lie. Know the truth about the truth. The mental material concept is the lie. It's a belief about what is here. Then know the truth about the truth. Life is perfect, whole, and complete. And your belief will then begin to graduate to faith. As you make your consciousness a hospitable environment for the divine principle, by not competing with it, by thinking, forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through your corporeal senses, in that silence and stillness, you watch, you wait, you listen, and you let divine truth reveal itself. And when your thought is illuminated by the divine principle, this is the birth of Christ in consciousness. You nurture that, and you let it guide you from within until you can step out into the full light of walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Well, that completes our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your spiritual understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, to get the light in your soul and step out of time into eternity. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to the program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.